If you have a Bible with you right now, open your Bibles to the second book in the Bible, the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter number 3. Put your thumb in it. Find your Bible there at the coffee table at home, and we will get to Exodus 3 in just a moment. Now, there are a lot of things I really miss about the decade known as the 1970s. For some reason, I really love the 70s. It may be my most favorite decade in all the decades I've lived in my little life. And there are many things I loved about the 70s. I could talk several hours and bore you to death talking about why I love the 70s, the music, the TV, the decor, the bell bottoms, all that, just the polyester. It was an amazing time for our country. But one of the things I miss most about the 70s were the telephones. You see, folks, back in the day, we used to have telephones that were connected to wires that would go into walls in our homes, okay? And back then, there were only two colors of telephones. There was this pea green soup color. Do you remember that? And the other color was equally as lovely. It was mustard yellow. Now, today, not many people have landlines. I'm wondering, like, if you have a landline right now, raise your hand. Yes, we have some Christians here today, Christians watching, people who were still holding on to the landline. Well, going back to the 70s, when we had those phones that were connected to the walls, remember it was the huge moment when we had the extended cords. And the cords would extend out forever. I mean, we had cords, young people, I kid you not, 12, 14 feet long telephone cords. I know it's hard to believe. They get all knotted up and stuff. It was an absolute mess. But I can remember being at our home back in the day with my family and my dad and my mom and my older brother, Ed. This is probably B.C. before Cliff. And so we're sitting there and we're just watching TV. We had like three stations back in the 70s. Another thing I miss about the 70s, you know, you had three stations. And then you had those rabbit ears, these antennas that came up out of your TV set. I know this is hard for some of you to believe, but it is true. I promise it is true. And your parents would make you as a kid go, hey, Ben or Ed, can you go adjust the TV set? And we knew what that meant. You had to go up and kind of move the antenna right there and move it that way. Hey, why don't you go in the kitchen and get some tin foil? And we'd go in the kitchen, true, put tin foil on the antennas, and then we'd stand there. They could, don't move. Don't move. Because it's not like cable or dish or Xfinity stuff. No. Don't move. That was it, because you became a part of the antenna, and how you moved affected the reception. So as I'm standing there, you're standing there holding the rabbit ears on your TV, trying to figure out what's going on through the fuzziness that we thought was clarity, you hear a noise. You know what it is? It's the phone ringing. Ring. Stand. Ring. Ring. It keeps ringing. And finally someone says, is anybody going to pick that up? Hey, is anybody going to answer the call? Ring, ring. And you're watching the whole TV. And the phone would ring and ring until someone would get summonsed, right, to either pick up the phone, or if you got there too late, check it out. The call would stop. And there weren't any answering machines, unless you were a doctor. No one had answering machines, okay? And so this would happen all the time around your house growing up. If you grew up in the 70s, you had the telephone. It would ring and ring and ring. Is anybody going to get that? Is anybody going to answer the call? Here's the deal. You didn't know who was on the other end of the line. There was no caller ID. It was a big mystery. So you could either, you know, let the call go, ring, ring, ring. You could ignore it. You could answer it. Or, if you're a genius, you could take the phone off the hook, and it would make that obnoxious noise, like a siren in Europe. And then when someone would call your house, they would get the busy signal. So calls and telephone calls and how we receive them was an integral part of my growing up, and probably an integral part of your growing up if you're a little bit old like me. But I thought about calling, and not calling and getting a phone call like we do today every 5 or 6 seconds, you know, with our cell phones, but I thought about a deeper kind of calling. In other words, you hear people say, well, hey, that person has a call on their life. Or you can tell they are really called to do what they're doing. Or does someone say, when I was totally lost in my life or in my career until I received what I knew to be as my calling. So what does it mean to have a calling on your life? And if there is a deeper call, a divine call, will you pick it up and answer the call for your life? Put that thought on hold for a little bit, and we'll come back to it, and let's talk about pain and suffering. Pain and suffering. Many, many years ago, thousands of years ago, millennia ago, there were a group of people who were good people. They were godly people, but they were trapped. They were stuck. They were imprisoned, and they were literally in slavery. These people were God's chosen people, we know as the Israelites. And they had been captured, and they had been enslaved by the Egyptians. Check it out, not for 4 years, not for 40 years, but for 425 years. Beaten down, marginalized, made to work 8 days a week. And they cried out to God. They cried out, God help us. God save us. God rescue us. Don't you see the plight we're in? And the Bible tells us in Exodus 3 that God heard their cry and God made a call. God made a call. He called someone to go and to get his people out of slavery, out of bondage, out of pain and suffering, and bring them into the promised land. The person he called, you know him, you love him, he's the MVP of the Old Testament, the main man, Moses. Moses. But Moses was far away from the call. I'm sure the phone had been ringing and ringing and ringing the call from God in Moses' ear, but Moses was on the lam. He was in Midian. He was no longer in Egypt. He was running away. He was working for his father-in-law, whose name was Jethro, okay? And he was out there in the ranching business doing his thing. But for some reason, God had a call in his life. And God called him to do something spectacular. God called him to do something incredibly dangerous. And that is to become a freedom fighter, to lead a movement, to lead over 1 million people out of slavery in Egypt. So God, ring, 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 calls Moses. And what does Moses say? Look at Exodus chapter 3, verse 11. Your thumb is already on it if you have a Bible. Check it out. But Moses, God calls him, Moses, I want you to do this. I heard the cry from my people and their pain and their suffering. I'm sending you. I want you to receive this call, answer it. Here's what Moses said to God. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, who was the leader of Egypt, and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Who am I? Moses resisted the call. And if we got into the details today, we would say Moses said, first of all, hey, I'm not qualified. I'm not qualified to do what you're calling me to do. I don't have what it takes. And I'm sure Moses said too, not only am I not qualified, I've got a past. God, do you know what I've done? God, I killed an Egyptian. That's why I'm not in Pharaoh's court anymore. Remember, Moses was raised in Pharaoh's court. Moses potentially could have been the next Pharaoh of Egypt. But he told God, listen, I got a past. I killed an Egyptian. I buried him in the sand. And that's why I'm out here working for my father-in-law, Jethro. I can't do this. I've got a past. I've got some serious guilt and shame issues, God. I can't answer the call. And also, Moses said, I can't speak. I have a fear of public speaking. I'm not a gifted orator. I don't know how to put my words together. And you want me to go and speak to over a million people? You want me to go and speak to the most powerful man in the world, Pharaoh? So Moses refused to answer God's call. And I get that. We all have our excuses, don't we? We all have our sad stories. We all have our victim stories. We all have the ability to blame another person or blame ourselves or talk about our lack of our inabilities and our weaknesses and our past and how we don't measure up. All of us can fall into that same trap. When we sense a call on our lives, I'm no surprise to you, but I grew up in the church. I was going to the church when I didn't know I was going to church. I was in my mother's womb. I was, you know, learning hymns on the front row. I kind of, you know, came out of the chute, so to speak, singing Amazing Grace. I don't know. I grew up in the church, and so I grew up in the church. My dad's a pastor, and so everybody thought, hey, you're going to be a pastor. Aren't you going to go into ministry? And that was back when the church had little old ladies who would squeeze you on the cheek. It's back when I had some fat on my face, you know. And I remember thinking, I don't want to do that. I don't want to work at a church. I don't want to preach following my dad's footsteps. That's just not who I am. I want to go to school. I want to make good grades. I want to go into business. And that's what I wanted to do. So I didn't think that call to preach, to do what I'm doing today, was actually for me. It's interesting as you look, you know, at life and what prevents us from answering a call on our life, and what allows us to push through and to answer that call and to actualize it. There's a really great writer by the name of Stephen Pressfield, who's a former Marine but became a writer and kind of a creative, motivational speaker, if you would, as sorts. And he wrote a book years ago called The Art of War. And if you're in the creative business at all or any kind of business and you want to read a good, short, quick book, The Art of War is a good read. But in The Art of War, Pressfield talks about what stops you and what stops me, in a sense, from living out our call. These are my words. So it's like, you know, this is who you are right now. You know, like the map and the mall, you are here. So here you are right now, in this place, in this worship center, listening to this message, with all of your past behind you, with the future in front of you, and the nowness of now. Here you are. Over here is where you could be. In between where you are and where you could be, Pressfield argues, is a big, yucky, powerful enemy called resistance. Resistance is something that may start on the outside. It may be external, but then it becomes internal. And when you begin to listen to resistance, and you take those excuses and those stories and the victim mentality, and you invite them into your heart and life, and you listen to their story and their words over and over again, you start to experience self-sabotage, and you never move from here to there because of resistance. Everyone has resistance. No matter what your calling is, no matter if you have a massive call in your life to be a general or to be a freedom fighter like Moses, whether you have a call to work in the military, whether you have a call to start and to run a business, whether you have a call to be a teacher or a coach or a doctor or an attorney, whatever the call is on your life, you all run into resistance at one time in your life or many times in your career and your calling, and you've got to press through that resistance to actualize your call. If you're wondering if God is calling you or something's happening right now vocationally, how do I know it's a call? How do I know what's happening? One of the ways to discern it is to look at where and what is the resistance. Moses. The future MVP ain't there yet. Resistance is winning the day against him, the guilt, the shame, his past, feeling inadequate, that he's not equipped or doesn't have the education. He can't. But God calls him. And have you ever noticed this about God? God doesn't just call us once. God doesn't just call us twice. God continually calls us. And why does God call us? Because God cares about you, and God cares about how you use your gifts and your talents for others. God calls because God cares. One of the authors I really love is Oxford scholar Oz Guinness. And here's what he said. It's a really good quote. Guinness says, In any and all situations, both today and tomorrow's tomorrow, God's call to us is the unchanging and ultimate whence, what, why, and whither of our lives. He's British, that's why he talks like that. Calling is a yes to God that carries a no to the chaos of modern demands. Calling is the key to tracing the storyline of our lives and unriddling the meaning of our existence in a chaotic world. Calling. Answering God's call for our life is the key to discovering God's meaning and purpose for why we are here. God calls us because he cares about us as individuals, and God cares about the ministry or about the others that we will help in that process. And we're all called. And we're called to do different things at different times. We all have a calling on our life. Moses had a calling on his life, but he was on the run. He was running from the call. Let's see what happens next. Flip over, if you would, to the New Testament, to Hebrews chapter 11. It's the hall of fame of men and women who answered God's call upon their life. Check it out. Verse 24, Hebrews 11, says, "By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter," which means he refused his inheritance, "choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking for the reward," or to the reward. Look at that passage. By faith. In other words, by choice, by trust, Moses chose, he considered, he weighed what is going to bring me more pleasure and more benefits in the long run? Is it Egypt or is it God? He considered, he said, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to answer God's call on my life. I'm going to say yes to him. And I'm going to endure the suffering. I'm going to endure the pain. I'm going to step out, though I don't feel like I've got all my gifts and things in line, but God has called me, and I'm going to trust in him. You see, we have potentialities in our life, potentialities of who we could be, but we have to choose to receive and answer the call and break through that resistance. Moses, thank God he did that. Moses was not a perfect guy. Moses did not perfectly follow God. No one did. But he was faithful to keep persevering, to keep crashing through quitting points in his life, to stave off the resistance, and to follow God in his calling. In his calling. He answered the call. Will you answer the call? Will you answer the call? God's calling comes to us in many different ways and different times in our life. I have a good friend of mine that was very successful in his career in the business world. And during midlife, someone else took over the company. And for some reason, my friend was laid off. So he's in between jobs. He's wondering, what is he going to do next? He gets another lucrative offer to work for another company. And he gets another offer to start teaching at a university. And so he weighed the options. Should I take the money or should I take the meaning and the teaching? And he took a risk. He pushed back against resistance and he took the meaning. He started to teach. And since he's been teaching in that calling, he loves it. He's thriving there. He feels like this is what he was born to do. He answered the call. And I know many people who are here today, many people who are watching, are people who have answered God's call on their life. And your call may be your vocation. You may be called to be a teacher. You may be called to be a scientist. You may be called to work in the real estate market. You may be called to be an attorney. You may be called, of all things, to work at a church. And that may be your calling. But God's call on your life may be something else. God's call on your life may be a ministry that God has for you. It may be if you hear a cry and a need of some people and you feel like God has called you and equipped you to meet that need. And you answer that call. God calls us because God cares. And not only God calls because he cares. Listen, God cares who we become. You see, that's the deeper call within the call of Moses, and that's the deeper call within the call of your life, kind of the call within the call, if you would. In other words, God may call us to do something. He may call us to a particular vocation. You know, and we feel like this is what God has wired me to do. This is what I have a passion to do, or this is what I have a burden to do. Or maybe you have a ministry, and that's where God has called you to plug in the church, and you are doing that ministry. But through that call is a deeper call for God to form his character inside of you. And that's what happened to Moses in his journey. This is what happens to you in your journey. As you're walking with God, as you're answering that call, there's a deeper call of who you are becoming. There's being, right? There's being, that's who you are, that's who you want to be or you can be through God's grace, and that is all about becoming. Moses 1.0 and Moses 2.0 is because he answered God's call, yes, to free his people, but also to allow God to do a work in his life in the area of character. What's God's will for my life? God's mysterious will. Why is he hiding from me? Listen, God's will is for you to be conformed to the image and character of Jesus Christ. So God is going to use all things in your life, all things in my life, to conform me to his character and to his image. He wants to produce in us those endangered character qualities of humility and bravery and strength, those fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the call beneath the call. That's the deeper call. Moses chose that. Will you choose that? I remember when God called me to do what I'm doing here today, to be in ministry. I was about 12 years old. I was on a retreat. I didn't expect it. It hit me out of the blue. But for some reason, I was burdened and crying. And I knew at that moment that I couldn't articulate it that well. Even though it was the 70s, I just couldn't say it. But I knew that God was calling me to preach and doing what I do now. There are many times that I wanted to quit. Many times I've wanted to give up. Many times I wanted to cash it all in and do something else. But God kept calling me. Calling me to preach and also calling me to be conformed to the image of his son. That's how God works. God cares about us so much that he calls us. And thank goodness he calls us more than once. Calls us to himself, calls us to be conformed to his image. Will we answer that call? I grew up a good part of my life in North Carolina in a small town called Canton. It's a mill town. So I had a paper mill there, about 5,000 people. It smelled horribly. I can't tell you how horrific the town smelled. It's probably still why I have, you know, breathing issues to this day. But we would play there in our backyards and on the rolling hills there in the pine trees. And as, you know, the sun was going down, we could start hearing our parents call us to tell us to come home. And we could hear the different neighbors call and we would answer the call. But there's one particular parent that I remember and one friend that we had back in the day. His name was Mike Harkins. You can't make that up, Harkins. I mean, what a Leave It to Beaver kind of name, right? And we'd be playing, and parents, you know, the sun's going down, and parents are calling, and then Mike's dad, who worked at the paper mill all day long, breathing in those fumes, and also smoked Camel Unfilters, we would see that little light of his cigarette there in the shadows. And we'd hear his voice, Mike. Mike would go, sir, come home. And Mike Harkins, because he was smart and wise, would drop what he was doing. And as the sun was setting, he would make his way home. Why did he go home? Because he knew and respected and heard his father's voice. He answered the call.